This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26 reads this way. It says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, and then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your people. And then, Lord, once again, may we never forget being reminded that where two or three are gathered there in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. What a privilege, what an honor, Lord, that we might be in your presence. And then, Lord, calling upon you to fill us and guide us with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Once again, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives would be empowered by your grace and mercy to truly be the laborers you've called us to be and the people you've called us to be, a holy and separate people, but then, Lord, also the light and the salt of the earth. May you bless, build Northwood for your honor and glory. Move amongst your people, and Lord, allow us to be the witness you've called us to be, that you, again, might be honored and glorified and our lives blessed, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "So is the Kingdom of God," or we can also call it "The Seen and Unseen Mighty Work of the Lord." Amen. Mighty Work of God.
And so on a special note, as we consider our text this morning, this is the only gospel where this parable is mentioned. And that is the idea that believers enter into the Lord's harvest out of love for our master. That has to be the motivating desire, really, a love that we have for God because he first loved us, that we might in turn love him. Otherwise, our faith is not going to be very good if there's no love there. We don't serve the Lord because we have some kind of intellectual knowledge. We serve the Lord because he loved us, and we understand that love, and that motivates us to love him. There's a lot of people that know things about the Word of God, but they don't have a love for the Lord, and therefore they miss out on that relationship that God wants us to have, not only with him, but with one another, and also with the world, because we know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we consider this, God wants us to follow him, does he not? When he says, hey, listen, this is the way, I'm going to show you how to do this. So we enter into the Lord's harvest, again, out of love for our master and obedience to his command, but we must never forget that all spiritual results are dependent upon him. Amen. Let me say that again. All spiritual results are dependent upon him. If we think we can do something to bring about spiritual results, we don't understand the Lord, and we certainly don't understand the Word of God. We're missing out. If we think we can do, this is what we're going to do, and this is going to bring people in, you might bring people in, but you won't bring them into the kingdom of God unless the Lord is working. And so this is an important truth. The Lord has to be in our midst. And so the Lord has called us to seek him with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. And as we do that, he begins to work in our lives. He begins to draw us nearer to him. And we begin to desire more of his will for our lives. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says this. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Did you hear that? Even as the Lord gave to every man. Notice, I have planted, Paul is speaking, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God is the one. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And so this is the important truth here this morning. God wants us to understand. He spoke to it here in this Gospel of Mark to his disciples. He repeated it again in the book of Corinthians. And many times throughout the scriptures, it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but by the Lord is how things take place for the honor and glory of the Lord. So it behooves the believer to seek the Lord in order to see things happen, first of all, in their own lives. And listen, we have to engage that humbly. God has not set us up to critique how things take place, but to trust him in all things, first of all, for our own lives, amen, that we might pursue after him personally, that we might grow. And by the way, the closer we get near to the Lord, the more we realize how small we are and how important, really, humility is before the Lord, and how we are really beholden to the Lord for everything that we stand in need of, and it is by the grace of God that he bestows that, not because of anything we've done, but because everything that God has done for us concerning salvation on the cross of Calvary, and everything that God wants to do for us. Why? Because he loves us. Isn't that amazing? And then we could say like David, well, Lord, who am I? Who am I that you would think about me in this way, right? Who am I, Lord, that you've chosen me, you've opened up my heart, you've opened up my understanding that I might understand and see what you did on the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice you made on my behalf that I might enter into your kingdom and into a thriving relationship that you want to have with me. So this morning we're going to consider three thoughts here, and that's going to be, first of all, believers must be aware of what they can and cannot know. There are some things that we can know. There are some things that we cannot know. And there are two parts to the Lord's work. Did you know that? There's the Lord's part, and then there's our part. But notice I said the Lord's part first. Amen? The Lord has to do his part, or our part won't matter. You can study the Word of God, but if God doesn't do his part, it's going to be for naught. You can witness for the Lord, but if God doesn't move and work in and through our lives, where will our witness end up at? Might as well talk to a brick wall, amen, unless the Lord is involved. And so we must be aware of these things. God wants us to be aware of them. And also, what we might expect as we serve the Lord, and what we may not expect, right? There are some things that we should expect because of God's great power and love, and there are some things that we should not expect. So we'll see that here this morning. So as we consider, let's notice also, believers must be aware of what we can do and what we cannot do. So let's consider that first. Let's back up to verse 26. And notice what we can do is we can cast the seed of God into the ground. And so verse 26 says this, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. That's the first part that we can do, and it's important for us really to take inventory in our lives that it is the Lord's seed that we're planting. And what do I mean by that? Well, what does God mean by that? Well, listen, can we really cast forth the seed, which is the word of God, is it not? So if we're casting out and we're sharing the word of God, if we need to be careful that what we are casting out is the seed of God and not the tares of the devil. Amen. Now, in another parable, a different parable, the Lord was also likening the kingdom of heaven, as a man goes out to sow seed, and some fell upon thorny ground, some fell on good ground, rocky ground, right? And the thing that happens is here is it's good to cast out the seed everywhere, because God has his timing and God has his place. And even though it appears that we might be sowing the seed of God in stony areas or where hearts are hardened, you might come across people that you would say, oh my goodness, they'll never trust the Lord. We don't know that, do we? God can work in the hardest of hearts. How about the Apostle Paul? Would you say his heart was pretty hard? I mean, my goodness, he was murdering the people of God, and yet God had a way to penetrate his heart and get him, get his attention, and he surrendered to the Lord and became a mighty servant of the Lord. In fact, listen, if you remember, the believers were afraid of him, weren't they, at first? They said, hey, listen, do you know who this guy is, right? You know who this guy is? He's the one that was killing us. And of course, the Lord knew exactly who he was and put him into the ministry, and so it behooves the believer to cast seed out throughout the whole world to everyone that we come into contact with. May we be soul conscious and soul minded, because eternity is in the balance for those who are without the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God has seen fit to save our souls, he has chosen us to share the light, to share the gospel with others that also need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So let's consider our part, and that is that we must sow seed. So it's important that we understand that. And also, what kind of seed is it that we are casting? So we can, you know, the Pharisees were teaching people. They thought the word of God, but what was their seed? Their seed was hypocrisy. Their seed was really blasphemy against the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of Israel, the Savior of the world. And they were at enmity. They were against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so listen, may we be concerned and at least think about what is my life really all about? We don't want to say one thing and then do something else, right? We can tell the world about the holiness and the life-changing blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but if they don't see the life change in our lives, what kind of seed are we broadcasting? It's gonna be bad seed, but if it's the good seed, even the good seed could be cast into hard places and God bring forth fruit out of it, right? And also we want to make sure that it's good ground, and of course that just depends upon the Lord, but may we have a liberal heart to not think that, oh, this person is beyond hope, or they'll never understand, they'll never know, they have got such a hard heart. Hey, that's not for us to decide, but it's for us to broadcast this seed to a lost and dying world. And so, again, there's different types of soil that's out there, and some doesn't really bring a lot of fruit. Some, and by the way, some comes up and gets choked because of the cares and worries of this world or the pursuits of this world, and there's not a whole lot of fruit there that takes place. And so that's not really ours to judge, but we can understand and know that that's taking place and still continue to move forward for the honor and glory of the Lord. But it's good for us to sow liberally. Then also, believers must be aware of what we cannot do. Look at verse 27. And should sleep, this is the farmer, the sower, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. He doesn't know how that takes place. So it's important for us to take inventory and to sow the seed. But notice here the Bible says we don't really know how the seed brings forth growth. I mean, listen, we know that we can germinate a seed by putting moisture and some warmth to it. And then if you've seen some of these videos where they show seeds that were growing and all of a sudden it germinates and you see this little sprout and then all of a sudden it sends forth roots and then a blade comes up and a scientist can tell you, oh, listen, well, this is how that happened. No, the truth is we don't know. We really have no idea. We can say we understand this is the process, but where does that spark of life come from something that falls into the ground and dies? And life, where does that life come from? Well, we know it comes from the Lord. How exactly that happens, we don't know. You can tell me the process. We can sound all intellectual. We can use all of the right terminology, and still the truth is we don't know. We really don't know. Listen, we can understand how a mother brings forth a baby, how that baby grows. Where did that life come from? How does that happen? And we can just say, only God knows that. We can say, well, this is the process, and this is what we believe, but only God knows where this life comes from. Isn't that amazing? And you and I are part of that. God has included us. God has purpose to place us in the place that he would glorify himself, glorify his name in and through the life of a believer that is yielded to him, that he would work through them. Isn't that amazing? Where we can sow seed and see growth take place where there was no life. Isn't that great? And so God wants us to understand how this happens. Again, we can see how the seed is planted, but then how it germinates and how all of a sudden this leaf appears, right? And and here when we're talking about corn, they're really talking about wheat. And so here's the thing about wheat. You watch it grow, and then at the first stages, it just looks like grass, doesn't it? And that's impressive. That's impressive to look at it. But then all of a sudden, it begins to grow and grow. And then all of a sudden, it gets this stalk, this ear. It's called an ear. And it has all these other seeds in there, doesn't it? And it produces after. How does it do that? So here you have one seed that died, and now it's got a multiple of seeds to bring forth more life. Whose plan was that? Oh, you mean it just didn't happen all by itself? I mean, a bunch of accidents just made everything perfect and made everything work and made everything right. And that every seed, because it wasn't chance, God purposed every seed would be after its own kind. Every animal would breed after its own kind. Isn't that amazing? There is no transitional form in the fossil record. There is nothing showing one animal changing into another animal. We have all kinds of fossils, but we have no fossils of some animal changing into another animal. None whatsoever. And if somebody thinks they have, they're thinking wrong. It's not right. They've concocted all kinds of different things. Even in the St. Louis Zoo years ago in the 1990s, I walked through the zoo here with my junior high and senior high class, and they had a little thing there of Lucy. And they said, oh, this is a half chimpanzee or half monkey, half human. And I said, the truth of the matter is, and I can't remember the scientist's name or the evolutionist's name that was on this quest, if you will. He was running out of his funds. Check it out. You'll find out. He was running out, and he had to come up with something. Do you know that part of this Lucy or whatever comes from an extinct pig, one of the bones? And not only that, but they were found in different places, hundreds of feet away at different depths. I mean, one fossil was found 300 feet away, and I began to share that. I said with the individual, and he did nothing but get mad. That's all he did. I said, listen, why are we propagating this? Which really, there's no scientific fact for this, because God has created everything. And so he walked away. And by the way, I said, where are all the other transitional forms in the fossil record? And he couldn't tell me. And so I wasn't trying to frustrate him. I was trying to allow him to understand that, listen, only God knows where life really comes from. We can pretend to know, but we don't know. God is the one. In fact, if you'll notice right here in verse 27, he says, and should sleep, speaking of the sower, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. Look, notice, he knoweth not how. The sower has no, does God know what he's talking about? And if he says, listen, the farmer, you can study it all you want, you will never know how that life happens. You know, you may know the process, but you're never going to know where that spark of, and listen, it comes from the Lord. We don't even know how he does it, but we know he's the doer of it, don't we? And so God wants us to know that, but we don't really know exactly how that takes place. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with leaving things in God's hands. How about you? I don't have to know everything to believe in the Lord. In fact, I knew very little about the Lord except for this one thing. He saved my soul. And nobody can tell me different, listen, because I was born again, amen? And because of that new birth, God changed my life. Isn't that amazing when you stop and ponder that? So, listen, we must be aware of what we can and cannot do. And, of course, we cannot know how God brings forth this life, but we do know that he does it, and we could be okay with that. And by the way, listen, really, this happens because mankind naturally hates the Word of God, but it does enter into them and change their lives. Did you know that? How does that happen? God has changed throughout the centuries. God has changed the lives of reprobates. God has changed the lives of slave traders, people who hated the Lord to become lovers of God. How did that happen? Only God. And yet it does happen, doesn't it? I wasn't seeking the Lord when I got saved. And I can tell you, my friends can tell you, all the friends I grew up with will tell you something happened to him. And he's not the same guy we grew up with. And he doesn't want to participate. And he doesn't want to do the things and go to the places that we used to go to because God changed. They can say, oh, he got religion. But I want you to know, God changed my life. Amen? And I am thankful for the Lord's great grace and his work that, listen, I don't even really understand, but here's one thing I know, he did it. Amen. Isn't that good? God did it. And by the way, if he did it for me and if he did it for you, can he do it for everybody else? Absolutely he can. And so may we walk with that confidence and that assurance of what God can do. And listen, we can't do it, but we know that God can. And so that's a great thing. So notice again here in verse 29, he says, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. So we can reap the ripe ears. What does that mean to reap? Well, when the farmer reaps the ripe ears, what does he do with that? He puts it into his barn to protect it, right? So when God says, listen, you can reap the ripe ears, God wants us to go into the field where we bestowed no labor and reap his harvest. He said the harvest is ready, and we can bring them into the Lord's house, amen, to protect them under the word of God, that they might grow up and be nurtured in the admonition and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God wants us to bring in the harvest. How is our hearts? Are we believing that this morning? Are we thinking, you know what, I can go out there and I can reap the harvest that I haven't even labored in, that God has called me to, because the fields are white unto harvest, and I can go out there and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see things happen by the grace of God. And so what is our witness like? When was the last time we decided to share the gospel and tell somebody and have confidence and compassion as the Lord did, some having compassion, making a difference in the lives of those that we need to reach out to in this lost and dying world? Listen, because the world is getting darker doesn't mean that there's no hope. It means that there's more possibilities of people that need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They need the light of God, and God has called us to be the witness grace that they need to be the sowers of the good seed of the Word of God. But first of all, again, we need to know that God wants us to walk upright in His grace and in His mercy in this world, in our own lives, and that we ought to be concerned enough to seek the Lord, how? With all of our heart, mind, and soul, according to His purpose that He has called us, and that is to be the light and the salt of this earth. And so God wants us to be on board with what He's doing. But listen, God can do a work where we cannot in the hearts of mankind to completely change and revamp their lives. Isn't that great? And God has called us to that place. So again, as we consider this, believers must know and also be aware of what we can and cannot know and can and cannot do. So what can we know? Not every seed that we plant will grow to full maturity. There are people that you can tell about the Lord. They may make a profession, and they may not grow to full maturity, but they're in the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord, they're in the Lord, and they may not grow to full maturity, but we can tell them, we don't need to be disappointed in them. That's the Lord's work. We did the best part, and that was the only part, which was to bring in the harvest. The Lord's the one that did that work. We can pray for them, we can encourage them in the Lord, but God wants us to know that not every seed that we plant will grow to full maturity. The Word of God is quick and powerful, is it? And so it can do the Word of God. But what if we don't share it? What if we don't tell anybody about the Word of God? Then can we expect for the Word of God to do the work of God if we keep the Word of God and we don't broadcast that seed and we don't allow it to fall into the hearts of man where God can change their lives? So what is our business today? Well, our business today is to be about the Master's business, is it not, as a child of God? The most primary, important relationship that you and I have as believers is our pursuit of our God and to walk uprightly according to His Word and His mercy and His grace. And so if we're not seeking that, then I promise you the fields will be discarded as well. If we don't have a heart for the things of God, then all we have is a form of religion with no power, a form of godliness, but no power. And that's the truth. People may not want to hear it, but I'll tell you what, God wants it preached. Amen. God wants you to know you are accountable for the salvation that God has given you to pursue Him and His will for your life, to be a sower of His seed, because in eternity, nothing else is going to matter. Not one little bit. Nothing else is going to matter. You can make your plans. You can have your pursuits. In fact, they might be the things that are keeping you from the love of God. And you got to be careful about that, because this world can work on the old nature, and we can set aside the things of the love of God and the salvation that God has given to us, and we might be the ones that may not bear much fruit. And God doesn't want that for our lives, but God wants us to be this. That's the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. Listen, I'm not preaching my word today. I want you to know this falls on my life as well. I am accountable before the Lord to serve Him faithfully, just as everybody else is. Now, listen, I'm not accountable. I've been given the privilege to share the gospel, but I am accountable for my life and my service to my Lord. And I want to encourage everybody else also to do the same thing, but I'm not accountable for how you serve the Lord. Do you know I'm not even accountable how my wife serves the Lord? Or my children serve the Lord. But I am accountable for how I serve the Lord. Now, do you think I want to have an influence on my family? Absolutely, for the Lord Jesus Christ, I do. Do you think I want to have an influence for the church of God? Absolutely, that's what God's called me to. But it's not my responsibility. That is between you and the Lord and everybody else. I can't control your heart, but I would say in my own life, why wouldn't I want to serve the Lord? Why wouldn't I, after what He's given to me, be faithful and draw near to Him? This is what really matters, and I'm afraid in this day and age, it's easy to be sidetracked and distracted and to get caught up in myself, because this is the selfie generation. It is. It is. I mean, listen, where do you see everybody? They're like this all the time. Do you know that Columbia, Missouri passed a law that if they see a phone in your hand and you're at a red light, this is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, you can still get a ticket? So since they passed that law, you don't see anybody on their phone anymore, right? On the road. all the time. All the time I see them on the road. I watch one lady after they pass that law, and I'm coming out of the post office there on Walnut, and I'm pulling out onto Walnut. I think it's Walnut anyway, or Ash. I can't remember, but anyway, I'm watching her. I said, she's not slowing down. Oh, she was only doing 30 miles an hour, and I'm coming out of the drive. There's a traffic light right there, and I just watched her go right through, and the other guy, because his light was green, he slammed on his brakes or he would have hit her. She never blinked. She never missed a beat. She was still on her phone. She never even saw what almost happened to her. And man, you want to talk about, but listen, that is the world in which we're in. By the way, the Lord knows all about that as well. And we are still to reach out to them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because they are distracted into what in the world is that, whatever she was doing, going to do for her life when it comes to eternity? Do you think she's going to say, man, I'm so glad I was on my phone rather than trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him as my Savior? Of course not. There's not anything on that phone that is more worthy than our God. And that there's nothing in this world, there's no pursuit in this world that is more worthy than our pursuit of the love of God that he's given to us. And that's what God wants us to know. And so, we must know that the word of God is quick and powerful, but we also need to know that the believer is the sower and spiritual life. And listen, The believer is the sower, but spiritual life and growth come from who? It comes from the Lord. You and I can't create that, but we can call upon the Lord to do that. That's his will. He says, listen, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, because the fields are white, are they not, on the harvest? Pray that he would send forth more laborers into his harvest. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray that God would save souls through who? Everybody but me? Or me. God has called us to be his light. God has called us to be his witnesses. And so we can expect that the Lord wants to use each and every one of us. But what we cannot know is that the seed of God grows out of our sight. We don't see the growth taking place, but it does grow, don't we? It grows. We stick it in the ground and it grows, and we don't know how that takes place. Someone might say to us, well, explain to me the new birth. I can't explain to you the physical birth. How am I going to explain the new, how life really happens? Here's my explanation. If somebody were to ask me, I would say, well, experience the new birth for yourself and you'll know all about it. Amen? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow him to save your soul and you'll know what I know. Amen? And what I know is the truth, and it will never change. I have a 100% assurance of eternal life because of the work that God did for me back May 8th, 1987, and the work that God is continuing to do in my life. I see the progress and the progression in my relationship with the Lord and the change that he's bringing in my life and the work that he's doing in my life that he might crucify the old man. It's a continual process, and more of the Spirit of God can be released that I might stand more in the confidence of the Lord and not in my own confidence. The confidence of mankind is null. The confidence of mankind, listen, the confidence of mankind will cause us to disobey the Lord and obey ourselves more than God. And we will fight with the Lord if we're looking at our self-confidence. We will say, this is not right. I don't agree with that. That might be for you, but it's not for me. Show me where it says that in the Bible. When God speaks to his people, he speaks to all of his, if they're his. I don't know, but God speaks to all of his people. And there are going to be some that they're not going to want to know. But again, is that my job or the Lord's job? That's the Lord's job. But my job is to proclaim and stand up for the truth. And to walk in the grace of God, proclaiming the love of God, because God, again, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Lord wants. So, what may we expect if we serve the Lord? That's the contingency. If we serve the Lord, and what may we not expect? Well, if we sow the seed of God, we should expect to see fruit. And if God is doing work in our lives, should we expect to see a change? We should expect to see a change. So, we can expect when the good seed of the Lord is sown, that we can see something take place in our lives, a change take place in our life, but we can't make it grow according to our timing, can we? But God can make it grow. That's the Lord's work. And isn't it amazing when you stop and think about everything that the Lord has done and how he has done it? When you stop, it's amazing how God can take a very little thing and make a very big thing out of it. Can we go back all the way after the flood? And there was a man named Abraham. You remember him?
Yes.
He was an older man, wasn't he? And his wife was beyond childbearing age, wasn't she? And did not the Lord use these two people that had no power in themselves, whom God blessed to make a great nation for the glory of God?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And out of Abraham came Isaac, and then Jacob, and then out of Jacob came 12 sons, didn't they? 12 tribes of Israel. And then they were brought into Egypt. How many of them were there when they went to Egypt? 70 souls? And then what happened after 400 and some 30 years? Multitudes. Isn't that amazing? Hey, when the Lord started, he was all by himself until he called 12. And then on just before Pentecost, there was 120.
Amen.
And then the gospel went throughout the whole world. See, you and I can't do that, and we're on the wrong page if we think we can, because we can't. And we dishonor the Lord in that. So when we think, I know what needs to take place, no, we don't. We don't know that. But we do know the one who can make things happen, and we must be calling upon him. Listen, God is calling you and I to a diligent seeking of our God and his mercy and his grace to perform these things beginning in our lives first. Do you think God wants to hear this? Listen, Lord, I'm happy with my life the way it is. You save some souls. I don't even want to tell them. You use other people to save them. Do you think that's the way the Lord works? You think God's going to bless that? Or God's going to say, or does God want us to say, here am I. Send me. Where should I start? How about with our neighbors? We have events here, do we not? We can invite them. Can we not? Isn't that a good thing to do? And then let it go from there. Lord, listen. And by the way, I want you to know I've been knocking on doors for many years. It's not an easy thing to do. But why do we do it? Because we're supposed to know for the love of God. Because somebody cared enough, God sent somebody that cared enough about my soul to tell me. And where is our compassion? Or is it all bound up and covered up with ourselves? Because we become more important than the cause of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, God says, I'm not done yet. I'm still working. And he'll work till he comes again. But the real question is, do we want the work of God in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds? Or have we stepped back and become critics now? And people that say, well, I know what needs to take place. No, we don't know. But God does. And if we'll seek the Lord, he will do a work. And again, listen, the invitation is the Lord's. But the opportunity is ours. And if we do nothing with it, then that's what we're doing with the opportunity. Nothing. But if we say, Lord, I want to be found faithful. Lord, I am thankful for the love that you have given to me. I'm thankful for that. And may that love that you've given me motivate me to place my life in your hands that you might do with it as you will, and as you please. Why? Because, Lord, you are worthy. Is he not worthy?
Amen.
You are worthy, God. And so God says, he says, come. He invites us to come. And he says, call on me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But again, the question is, do we want to see that? Would you stand? Let's pray as we prepare for the Lord's invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your guidance. We thank you, Lord, for your love. and the understanding that you bring to our hearts and minds. May you move in our hearts, Lord. May we be yielded to you, to walk with you and to seek you and to receive you, Lord, in every which way you want us to follow you. Bless your word. Bless your people this morning. And Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to their hearts as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.